Westwood.
This is Adam Virgo.
This is John Curtis.
Hi, this is Stan
Collymore. And you are listening to the V2 Football Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the V2 Football Podcast. I'm Chris Lappin, and joining me today I've got Anthony Kendrick.
Hello.
And Richard Hill-Hudson.
Good evening.
Well, you all good, lads?
Yeah, not bad. We've won a trophy.
Ooh, yay.
A bit chilly today, but yeah, otherwise I'm good.
Okay, well, FM. Jose's the first United manager to win a trophy in his first season. I didn't know that.
That's wrong. David Moyes won the Community Shield his first game.
That doesn't count.
A trophy means something.
Yeah. No, in all seriousness, yeah, it's a, you know.
I didn't realise that.
To win a trophy.
But we'll quickly discuss that later. So, firstly, our thoughts go out to Borussia Dortmund midfielder Mario Götze, who's been ruled out for an unknown period of time due to metabolic disorders.
Does anyone know what that actually means?
I presume it might be maybe something similar to what Dan Fletcher had.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure.
Whether it's something that changes with translation or something, I'm not. It just sounds very
He had something wrong with his gut. Fletcher.
Yeah.
He said, said that he's getting treatments and everything's going well. He hopes to be back in training soon.
It makes you wonder because at one point, when he was very young, he was hyped as this massive German super, you know, the German Messi sort of. He was hyped to an incredible level and never hit those heights, especially when he moved to Bayern.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder if this is part of the reason what's prevented him playing, you know, and becoming the player a lot of people thought he would.
Oh, apparently it's myopathy that he's got.
Yeah.
Which causes weakness and rapid fatigue in the muscles.
Oh, right. So we're completely wrong there.
But, yeah, it's a rare muscle disorder, so it could be pretty much the end of his career.
It's very sad to hear. Yeah. I guess at least he'll be remembered for scoring the winner in the World Cup final. If nothing else in his career.
And having a very fit missus.
Another story that's caught my eye this week. According to Gary Neville, Kante should win the PFA Player of the Year after his stunning performance for the Premier League leaders this season. The Chelsea midfielder is the early favourite to scoop the prize ahead of Hazard, Costa, Ibrahimovic, Kane and Sanchez, I think, were the top six.
I think for me, Kante has been very good. But for me, Kante's been an important part of a Chelsea team, which is very good. For me, Alexis Sanchez deserves it because he's a player that takes Arsenal to the next level and gives them a chance of competing with the big boys. Kante has been very good, but for me, I would vote Sanchez.
What next level has he taken them to?
Well, where would Arsenal be
position, what position are they in at the moment?
Arsenal would be competing in the top. They'd be sixth for me if they didn't have Sanchez. I think the other top five teams are far better than them without Sanchez, personally.
So he hasn't really took them to the next level. He's kept them as they were.
Okay, yeah, I suppose you could phrase it that way. But yeah, he's someone for me who is so integral to Arsenal. Yeah, for me, he'd be my player of the season.
I think it's hard at the moment to sort of say. Kante has sort of fitted that jigsaw, certainly at Chelsea. But, you know, you go back 2 years and Chelsea won the title then. So
yeah.
It's not like that's a team that he's suddenly made amazing. They were a decent team. They just had a bit of too many players having a slump last year. And now they've rediscovered that form. You know, you look at the stats for Kante, and Ander Herrera has actually done better this season in all the key positions, key stats that you'd look for Kante.
Herrera has been very good for United, I grant that.
Since he's come in, they're playing better. Is that all? It's the only reason he's been...
Yeah, he's been a catalyst to them this season. I'd go for Hazard at the moment myself.
Yeah. I think we mentioned it last week. I said Hazard's probably been my player this season.
There's no one really, though, that I'd say is standing out. It's not like other years where you think he's bang on to win it. They're all sort of doing very well, but no standout performer, I'd say.
Jamie Carragher disagrees with Gary Neville. He believes Ibrahimovic should win it, which is quite surprising.
He scored a lot of goals for United, and everyone wrote him off.
So. People have been listening for a while now. I didn't like Ibrahimovic before this season, and he's turned me round.
A lot of people thought he'd flop at United, and as Richard says, there's five or six players in with a shout. But personally, for me, I'd put Sanchez just above, but Hazard, Ibrahimovic. There's several players who you could make a compelling argument if you so wished. I'm sure probably make an interesting blog post actually.
It's time for Performance of the Week. Anthony, who was nominated this week?
Okay, so we had Harry Kane for his hat-trick in the Premier League and Jamie Vardy for his two goals against Liverpool for Leicester. And then we also had two nominees from the League Cup final. We had Southampton's Manolo Gagliardini and United's Zlatan Ibrahimovic. What do you guys think before I reveal the winner?
I think we should congratulate United and Southampton for giving us one of the most entertaining cup finals for years.
Yeah, I agree with that. It was a fantastic final, and I agree. It was a very enjoyable watch, and until the end, it was Zlatan's late winner. Really, I think Southampton could have quite easily won it. Southampton played fantastically well, but for me, Ibrahimovic was the key difference, and it was a very entertaining game.
I went for Ibra. Just because he sort of transcended the game. He made it his final.
Yeah.
I know Gagliardini obviously did particularly well for Southampton and should have had a hat trick. It was the goal.
Yeah.
Ibra just then took it to another level with the winner. It's just that aura about him as a player now. That post-match interview where Pogba was saying to him, United went and bought him, and he's like, "I was free. They bought you."
I agree. I think Ibrahimovic. What do you think, Chris?
I nominated Harry Kane.
Okay. The winner this week, with just over half the vote, 53%, was Gagliardini. Ibrahimovic in second, 23%. Kane getting 14%. Vardy 10%. So. Yeah, clear winner for Gagliardini, I think Ibrahimovic personally, it's hard to criticise those who voted him. He's also a very good choice.
I think all four were good performances. You probably question why Vardy suddenly puts in that performance this weekend after so many weeks of being completely anonymous. And Harry Kane, I think it's great that after the Thursday night, where they went out of the Europa League, he scored an own goal and just generally wasn't a great performance then to bounce back in that style.
I guess it's one of those, isn't it? The four strikers, and in a different week, any of those four could have won. Without the competition, Jamie Vardy one other week could have won it, or whoever. I think it was a very good week, very competitive week.
Right, so we'll go for the first game of Son of the Pitch. It's me versus Anthony with Hero as question master.
Okay, so let me just grab my question. This one is going to be, it's based on the website Transfer Market for my data.
Yeah.
Name the top 10 transfers in value from Spanish League clubs to Premier League clubs.
Okay.
Presumably the opposite doesn't count.
They have to have gone from La Liga to the Premier League. So if you said Cristiano Ronaldo, then you'd be wrong.
Okay.
And there's 11 answers because there are a couple of joint score prices in there.
Okay.
I'll let Anthony go first.
Let's see.
Just remember, these are on what Transfer Market has said is the prices, so there might be different. There's always like a few sort of extra add-ons that certain websites say and such.
Okay, I'll go with Aguero.
Aguero was joint 10th. Ooh. You just scraped that in.
What was the fee, can I ask?
30.6 million, they say.
That's 10th?
Yeah.
Did Diego Costa?
Yep, joint 7th with 32.3 million.
You're worrying me now because it's got to be, well, at least 30 million to make the top 10.
You're getting good at this.
David Silva?
No.
Ooh.
He came from PSG.
What?
Oh, no, David Silva didn't. No, he was Valencia, but no, he wasn't that much.
Alright.
Pedro?
I was David Luiz, you said that much. Pardon, sorry?
Pedro?
Nope.
This is difficult, actually.
So we're at one all, with one wrong each.
I don't think it was that much.
Really struggling.
I'm thinking of a few, like, I've got two or three in my mind, but they were like 20, you know, less than 30 mil.
You might have had add-ons, so you don't know.
Yeah. I'll go for Mata, but I don't think he was.
Nope.
Torres?
Torres is in there. He's joint 7th as well. 32.3 million.
Ozil.
Did you fall off your chair there?
Ozil.
Ozil, he is second, 39.95. It's 2-2, but you've still got an extra one to guess. Sanchez, yep, he is fifth, 36.13.
Yeah, my next one.
You need to get this one to stay in it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I should be alright. Di Maria?
He is top.
Yes.
63.75. Don't know how he managed any add-ons.
Oh, God.
This is for the win.
I know. David De Gea?
Nope.
No.
So,
It's 3-3.
It's 3-3, but you've done 5 each.
Yeah, we'll toss up all the scores after all the games and see who's wins.
Okay. Do you want the ones that you forgot then?
Yep.
Okay, so well. Joint 10th was Aguero with Ander Herrera.
Ooh. Herrera made the top 10.
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
Then there was three finishing joint 7th, which was Torres and Costa that you got. The other one was Eric Bailly.
Oh, bloody hell.
6 is Mustafi.
I forgot all about them. I was trying to think of people who have signed for Arsenal recently.
Arsenal forgotten him already. 5th was Sanchez. 4th, long forgotten, Rubinho.
Oh. How long ago was that?
3rd, pardon?
How long ago was that? Was that 2009?
6,
so, I don't know. 8, 9, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. And number 3 is Otamendi.
How much was Otamendi?
Down here it's down as 37.91.
Oof.
It looks like they're probably already going to be getting rid of him in the summer.
Yep.
Then it was Ozil as second, and Di Maria was top. You look at that top 10 list, though. A few of them are a bit of stinkers now.
Yeah. I wonder what Rubinho's up to these days.
He's back in the Brazilian league, isn't he?
I don't know.
No idea. Right, so 3-3 after the first game. Next is me versus Hero. Right, so it turns out Leicester City is just another normal Premier League side after they get rid of Claudio Ranieri. What were your initial thoughts of the sacking at the time? So I think it was the day after we did the last show, so we couldn't get it in on last show. So.
I think it was a joke myself. I think that the players weren't playing for him, but I think this sacking just shows how far player power has come. I think Ranieri did everything he could. He couldn't win no matter what he did. He tried using the same tactics which worked last season. He tried using different tactics. I don't know what people want from him. He's damned if he does and he's damned if he doesn't. He can't win. So yeah, personally, I think the players weren't playing for him, and I felt very sorry and very sorry for him. It's one of the saddest sackings. I've seen Van Gaal is up there, but I wasn't very happy.
I felt sorry for him.
Yeah.
I felt the day afterwards. My immediate gut reaction was that was the wrong decision. In the cold light of day, it was the right call.
Yeah, I was going to say, what were your thoughts after the Liverpool win? So...
You've got to put sentiment aside, unfortunately, in this modern day of football.
Mm.
And yes, what he did for Leicester will never, ever be achieved again. You know, he did something that was unthinkable. Nobody in the wildest dreams would think last season Leicester were going to win the league. And I think even with us until, you know, getting into April, we still thought they were going to bottle it at some point.
Yeah.
But if Leicester go down this season, all that is forgotten. Leicester as a football club will lose out on something in the region of about £100 million.
Yeah, and they'll become a quiz question.
Would they get back up? You know, you look at clubs like Aston Villa, how they're struggling in the Championship. Is sentiment worth £100 million in this modern day and age?
Well, I think there's two points, I think. First, the game, the time of the sacking for me was very strange coming against, after that first leg they lost 2-1 and, you know, they're still in the Champions League and they've got every chance. That's a good result away from home. You know, they're still in it. It's not like they're out. So I'm a bit confused why they sacked him then. And also, I don't like the fact that the rumours are that the players have gone to the chairman and there's been four separate meetings, four times they've wanted to see him to get rid of Ranieri. I think that it's wrong. And, you know, you can talk about sentiment all you like, but at the end of the day, the club weren't in the relegation zone and had, forget the title.
Yeah, but they were on Saturday morning. After Saturday, they were in the relegation zone.
They were 18th when he got sacked, weren't they?
They were 17th when he got sacked, and then as soon as the games happened on Saturday, they dropped into the relegation zone.
Okay, but either way, like, you look at Leicester and forget last season. They're a club who, you know, when Ranieri first took over, we were all saying they're going to go down, and even when they won a few games at the start of the season, they said they're still going to go down. And I think you've got to put it into context. You know, if Leicester avoid relegation by one point, that's got to be considered a successful season, surely.
They've spent £80 million in the summer, though.
Yeah, on some dross as well.
I don't know. I personally, I don't agree with his sacking. I think it's very sad how it's
I thought if they were going to do it, they would have done it after the next leg of the Champions League, just to see if they got through.
Well, that's the thing. It depends what your priority is. If you want to go and do well in the Champions League, you know the fans, when are Leicester next going to get in the Champions League? When are they next, you know, when are their fans next going to see that? I mean, I think the other thing, though, is I want to make a bit of a parallel with Formula One, because I don't know how much you know about it, but Nico Rosberg won the World Championship last year. Isn't the best driver, but immediately retires after. I don't know if Ranieri would have been served well to do something similar to that. Had he, you know, resigned and Leicester boss said, right, I've won you the league, resigned, you know, left as a hero, would that have been a better thing for him? So obviously, with hindsight, it's easy to say yes, but, you know.
Yeah, I understand that. My whole thing is that football nowadays is not a Hollywood movie. It's not romantic anymore. And, you know, they, as a business, they would have lost a lot of money. They still could go down, obviously.
Yeah.
They will lose a damn certain amount of money if they go down. And unfortunately, that's what the Premier League football is about nowadays.
Yeah, so every man and his dog has been linked with the game. But they apparently held informal talks with Roy Hodgson today. Think of him.
I think he'd be an interesting appointment. I think, you know, I'm a fan of Roy Hodgson. I know others aren't, but I think he'd be a good appointment myself. I think, yeah, I think he's got this unfair reputation of being a defensive minded manager. I think when push comes to shove, he can set a team up to play good attacking football.
I think with Hodgson, he has his weaknesses, certainly. I think people know what his level and such. And I think a club like Leicester is a great club for him.
Yeah, I was liking, you know, the idea.
Showed when he was at England that there was certainly errors when he got to the World Cup final. What was it, the World Cup final or the Championship? Where he completely... The World Cup final, wasn't it?
The World Cup finals.
No, it was the European Championships, wasn't it? Where he completely mucked up. Well, both. at Liverpool, he clearly was out of his depth there.
Yeah.
But a tough club, you know, across Europe and at West Brom, it performed admirably.
Yeah, I was liking the idea of Nigel Pearson coming back. thought that would have been entertaining for the last bit of the season. But
well, he's out of work at the moment, so...
Yeah.
It's because nobody go near him.
He was, well, he's won a derby this season.
It's mental.
That's when I saw his name as one of the like favourites for it. I was like, it was Goose Hiddink, Mancini and Pearson were the favourites yesterday when I made my notes. And then Roy Hodgson came up today, sort of thing.
I'd be surprised if Mancini came. I think Mancini would probably think, even though Leicester won the title last year, I would think he was still...
I think the link is because didn't he spend a season there? Was it, I don't know if he spent a whole season there. I think he
was there on loan at one point, I think he
played
like 10 games or something.
Yeah. I think Goose would have done a good job if they don't go for Roy Hodgson. You can get them defensively set up and get them to stay up, probably. So.
I have seen, this is not in regards to Leicester, but another manager possibly on the move. In Italy today, there was heavy rumours that Conte is going to be moving back there in the summer.
Oh, I saw that on in the Metro today.
Sky Italia are saying that Inter Milan are lining him up.
And he got offered about £50 million, of course. I saw the headline, so I didn't have a chance to read the whole thing.
Yeah, it was saying that he was a bit homesick, and obviously in the two Milan clubs have got a fair amount of money to invest this summer.
That could be interesting. Come to England, win the league, go back to Italy a hero.
I think he'd be missed if he did leave the Premier League.
I've been very impressed with him.
Yeah, he's a very liked manager, isn't he? He's very, you know, he's entertaining to watch on the touchline, but he's got a bit of a class about him.
I don't think Mourinho's a big fan.
No, but do you expect him to be? You know, someone who's done a better job than him at Chelsea, he's not exactly going to be pals with him, is he?
Right, so if you want to hear more on the Ranieri sacking from a Leicester legend, Ash and Al had Ian Marshall on their show this week. So if you go on to v2football.com, you'll be able to find the podcast. It's quite an interesting chat for about 10 minutes. So it's time for the second round of Son of the Pitch. It's me versus Hero. Anthony?
Okay, so I wasn't able to get the latest statistics, so that as of the 23rd of February this...
Yeah.
I want you to name the 10 Premier League players who've played the most minutes this season. So just to clarify, the minutes aren't just Premier League. So for instance, a player played minutes in the FA Cup, the Champions League, etc. That counts. So it's the 10 most players who played the most minutes in all competitions this season. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Chris, would you like to go first?
Okay. We'll go with... Asmaqueta? He must play a lot for Chelsea.
He wasn't. Oh. I'll tell you why after, but he's not in the top 10.
I'm going to go with Ibrahimovic.
Yes, he's played 3,030 minutes this season.
Okay.
Which puts him in third place.
Got David De Gea.
Yes, he's played 2,970 minutes, putting him in fifth. As of the 23rd of February. Over to you, Rich.
I'll go with Herrera.
Yeah, he's ninth. He's got 2,766 minutes to his name, if anyone's interested.
Bravo?
Nope. No, he does not make the top 10.
There's anybody United. I'm thinking, obviously, United have played more games than anybody else this season, so that's why I've been leaning towards them. But I'm trying to think. Valencia must have.
No, he hasn't. No, he's not in the top 10, I'm afraid. Over to you, Chris.
Sanchez?
No, I'm afraid not. Your fourth one, Richard?
Wanyama?
Yes, Victor Wanyama, 2,804. 3 minutes. So that's 3-1 to Rich. So got final one each.
David Blind?
I'm afraid not, no. Last one, Rich.
I'll go Wes Morgan.
Well done. Yes. He's got 3,180 minutes and has played more minutes than any other player in the Premier League.
Wow.
Not something you'd expect looking at him, but yeah. anyone else you guys want to guess or anything before I reveal the answers?
Robert Huth be there as well.
Sorry?
Will Robert Huth be there then as well?
Robert Huth's there, he's 10th, 2,748 minutes.
I presume there may be a couple more United players in, but I can't think which ones it would be.
Pogba's second, second only to Ibra and United. So basically, Azpilicueta, I'm pretty sure he's played. January, I think he played every single minute for Chelsea in the Premier League. But because Chelsea weren't in Europe, he didn't play.
Shit,
yeah. He couldn't play as many minutes. All the players. They only come from a few clubs actually. Top ten. Spurs have only got one in Victor Wanyama. I'll go from 10th. Robert Huth 10th. Ander Herrera 9. Oreo Romeo. Alexander Kolarov, Victor Wanyama, David De Gea, Paul Pogba, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, Fraser Forster of Southampton, and Wes Morgan top. So all the players come from Southampton, United, City, Spurs, and Leicester.
So I was thinking City, but I couldn't think which players have played that much for City.
That's why I was trying to go for goalkeepers, because they tend to play most of the games.
Kolarov's not someone you'd expect to have played the most minutes for Manchester City this season, but... Yeah, I guess Gael Clichy's a bit not been great for them. He's the only option really. But yeah, that was second round, and I can confirm scores 3-1 to Richard.
Yeah, so after that round, I've got 4, Richard's got 4, and Anthony's got 3. So it's all to play for in the final between you two. Yeah. Right, so we don't tend to discuss Scottish football very often, but Anthony thought it'd be a good idea this week. So
blame Anthony.
Sorry if this is a disaster.
Right,
so Celtic continue their dominance on the Scottish League, equaling their 50-year-long record of 26 domestic matches without a defeat. They're currently 24 points clear of second place Aberdeen.
They can win the title this weekend, can't they?
They need 13 more points to secure the title, it says here.
It's pretty much going to be like the earliest tie to win in a season, I presume. Isn't it better than what PSG were doing in France last year?
Yeah.
It is. It's incredible, really. It's, I guess, it's horrible to say it, but I think Brendan Rodgers has found his level, you know, in Scotland. I think, you know, he's obviously found a job which is right for him, which is, you know, showcases his fantastic managerial ability, shows great character there. But yeah, I think it's a shame, really. It's a bit sad with Scottish football because a few years ago they had that period where it was going well, and you know, Celtic were all really optimistic about them. You know, in the Champions League they were competing with Barcelona, and you know, Celtic wasn't at the level they once were.
In fairness to Celtic, I'll defend them for a short while. When they played City earlier in the season, I know it was a bit of a dead rubber game at the Etihad, but Celtic gave them a run.
Yeah,
and you look at the Celtic team at the moment, and perhaps it's not got the players there that are perhaps the peak of their years, but they've got two or three very good young players there at the moment.
I'm sure you've got one in mind you want to tell us all about.
Well, it's obviously it's the lad that they got from Fulham that nearly went to Spurs, and Spurs are probably kicking themselves that they didn't go through with it in Dembele.
Chelsea are reportedly interested in all these.
Well, a lot of clubs seem to be interested, and the fee keeps on rising on a weekly basis in the papers. I think it's up to approaching 50 million or something ridiculous now.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it, Celtic, though? You think they've won 25 games and drawn on the other one. It's just... I don't know of any other league where this has happened. Like, you know, you see dominance, but I don't know if anyone... And I read that one of their players was saying that only drawing 2-2 with Inverness way back in September, they're motivated by that, and that's really upset them. I mean, you know, had they not dropped points there, you know, 26 wins, it's crazy.
But like Dembele, I know it's a weakened league, but he's a 20-year-old that scored 29 goals this season.
Yeah, but how many did he score in the Championship last season? It was 20-ish.
He was one of the. He wasn't the top scorer, but he was like, you know, top 5 or something. He scored quite a few.
Apart from him, then you've got the lad that's on loan from City and Roberts.
He looked a very good player.
When he came back to City in the Champions League, he scored a fairly decent goal against them.
Scott Sinclair as well, he's scored quite a few goals. He's someone who sort of fell by the wayside a bit, but he's come back. Whether he gets another chance in England, I'm not sure.
Yeah, he was one of them. Did he go to City and he kind of fell off the wagon? Because they brought in loads of English players and then they kind of just kept them all on the bench.
Because he did well at Swansea, didn't he? He had that period when Swansea were flying.
Mm.
Yeah.
And the other one that looks particularly good is Kieran Tierney, the young left back. And he's only 19, but already I think a fair few clubs have been scouting him.
Yeah.
Yep. You were quite a fan of him as well. You scouted him a while back, didn't you?
Yeah, I saw him ages ago. He was he's come through the ranks, he's been like in the Scottish under 21 team for a while. I think he's just got a call up to the main side, but he's always been someone I've been aware of.
Rangers are still looking for a new manager after Mark Holberton left the role 2 weeks ago. Former captain Barry Ferguson looks like he could be taken over after resigning at Clyde on Sunday. He said he'd welcome a return to Ibrox.
Barry Ferguson, you mean?
Yeah.
So I already said he doesn't want that. He said he's not ready. He wants to do some coaching and stuff, is what I read.
Conflicting reports.
I don't know. You might be right.
Mine was on the BBC. He might have said to somebody else he's not ready.
Yeah, I don't know. It's sad what's going on at Rangers. Obviously with Mark Warburton, you had Joey Barton there earlier in the season, and going in, no one thought Rangers could win the league. But I was kind of hopeful there'd be some sort of competition there. But not even second. It's Aberdeen who are second in the league. It's sad, really, and I really do. You kind of once upon a time, Rangers v Celtic. There was interest, and even the English media were interested in it, and it was shown on TV, and people actually watched the game. It's sad, really, that it's not like that anymore.
Who's your Scottish teams?
I looked out for the results of Queen of the South because that's the team I tend to play on manager games.
I never know why. Right, but when it was Celtic Rangers back in the day, I always wanted Celtic to win, and I don't know why. Just something, I don't know.
What's Man United Celtic, and then it's Liverpool Rangers, isn't it?
Yeah,
I don't know, I just always wanted Celtic to win, but I don't know why. It was just sort of a 50-50 decision, really, isn't it?
Mine's always been Dundee United.
It's like Orange.
Currently in the Championship up there.
Yeah.
I remember in the 80s, they did fairly well in Europe. A couple of seasons. I think they got to the UEFA Cup final in 1 year, and they played Barcelona.
Hmm.
But they've always been my team.
And they beat Barcelona.
I think they might have done. Yeah. It's going back a fair few years.
I'm sure they're the only team in Europe to have a 100% record against Barcelona. I'm sure that's a fact I've spelt in one of our quizzes. I'll have to look it up. Right, shall we do the final?
Aye.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So.
Hopefully our Scottish fans are happy that we've covered a bit of Scottish football.
Actually, I've just looked it up about Dundee United versus Barcelona, and you're quite correct. They've played four times, and Dundee United have won all four.
Yeah, see, I'd even say in some knowledge.
That's a record and a half, isn't it, that?
Yeah. Alright, so I want you to name nations that have won the men's Olympic football competition since its inception. I'll accept the name of the country at the time, because some of the countries don't exist anymore.
Oh, that's a good point.
Oh, God. I hope you know names, because I don't.
Richard, you haven't gone first yet, so you can go first.
Well, I'll go with one that just won it then, Brazil.
Yeah, that was the first time they've won it, so surprisingly.
I knew Brazil, but beyond that, I don't know. Spain, they usually take it seriously.
Yep, they won it in 1992.
I really thought when it was at London that Spain were going to absolutely romp it. Because they had a really quite decent side. They had like De Gea playing for them and such. And I went to the game at Old Trafford when it was Spain versus Morocco. And it was the last game in the qualifiers. Spain were already out at that stage. It was a right dead rubber game. I will go with the ones that won it in London then, Mexico.
Yes, that was their first time as well.
They're the three which I had a good idea on. Who would take it? I guess if Brazil take it seriously, Argentina might. I'll go Argentina.
Yes, they won it twice. They won it in 2004 and 2008.
Being as you said, their name, they're not no longer called that.
Yeah.
I'm going for the old USSR.
Yes, they won it in 1956 and
1988. Is it possible? France.
Yes, they won it in 1984.
Cool. It's not bad.
I will go with, based upon how well they've done in World Cups and the South American doing well, Uruguay?
Yes, they won it in 1924 and 1928. So to stay in the game, you need to get this one out of me.
That's positive. Let's go for Britain to be, optimistic.
Yes.
Great Britain.
We've won it the most. We won it in 1900, 1908, and 1912.
Oh, brilliant.
Some recent wins there.
Alright, so this is the last round. So going into the last round, Richard, you have 8, and Anthony, you have 7. So for the win, Richard.
Italy?
Yes, they won it in 1936.
In the Jesse Owens Olympics.
Yeah. Right, so congratulations, Richard. You're this week's silver pitch.
Great.
You could have also had Belgium. They won it in 1920. Cameroon won it in 2000. Canada won it in 1904. Czechoslovakia in 1980. Did we say Germany? It was East Germany in 1976. So,
Would you have had it if we'd said Germany then?
No, I would have said it had to be East Germany. Hungary, 1952. Oh, they won it 3 times as well, so 1952, 64, and 68. Nigeria, 1996.
Was that Bush's era then?
I think so, yeah. It was late 50s, early 60s, wasn't it?
Yeah, because that's when England lost to them 6-3. I think it was like the first battle in England ever had as a football nation.
Poland, 1972. Sweden, 1948. And Yugoslavia 1960 are the ones you didn't say. Right, so congratulations, Richard.
Well played.
Thank you.
Okay, well, that was a vast amount of knowledge. You got 9 out of 10. Right. So.
Well, I was going to say Belgium if that helps, so that would have given us 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Swears he.
That's the one you got wrong.
What? No, oh, yeah. Sorry. I meant 10 out of 10 on the Olympic question between us.
What was the one you got wrong?
I didn't
get one wrong on the Olympic, did I?
You just couldn't win.
Yeah, win because I didn't know enough La Liga transfers.
Yeah. So it was more my questions that thwarted you then.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Alright, so we'll finish discussing the Young Premier League 11, which is voted for by our Twitter followers. So the team so far is Jordan Pickford and goal, and the fullbacks are Bellerin and Robertson. This week's poll went up for the first centre-back, and it was Eric Bailly, Eric Dyer, Alfie Moulson, and John Stones were up this week.
I think it's one of those, isn't it? I think we've had it a couple of times. It's whether you want to pick the player who... Because on paper you'd have to pick Stones or Bailly, surely, but, you know, Moulson's come in and done very well at Swansea, and he has a lot of... I think he could develop into something, so I think it's a... I don't know. I guess there's different ways you can look at it, I think. I voted for Eric Dyer myself.
Yeah.
Even though that Shane was convinced he's not a centre-back.
I think, well, it's difficult because I think the reason we put him in the centre-backs is because there's a lot more competition in midfield, and I think...
We put him in because he's played there 30 times this season or something.
It's a 50-50, really. I mean, if I'd have put him in the centre midfielders, I think people would have said, oh, he's a centre-back.
Yeah, well,
I'm sure someone would have come back to us complaining either way. I don't think...
Well, nobody's tweeted us saying he is in the centre-back, so...
Yeah. Take that,
Shane. All right, so their results were in fourth place. John Stones only got 11% of the vote. Eric Dyer got 9%.
I think that's sort of damning on his performances at times this season. Because he's at heart, he's a decent centre-back.
Yeah.
He just makes one mistake at least every single game, doesn't he? Like, when they played Monaco last week in the Champions League, he got left on his arse by Falco.
Hmm. Third place was Ed Dyer with 19%. So it could have been in the voting. People are thinking he's not a centre-back, maybe. But the winner was Eric Dyer with 43%.
Deserved winner. He's been very solid at United, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He is very solid, but at the same time, like with John Stones making a mistake, there's always like one moment in every United game where you think, oh, he's going to get a yellow card. Mm. He's quite rash still at times.
Yeah, so that means Alfie Molson finished second, which means he qualifies for this week's poll with Hull City's Harry Maguire and Celtic pair Kurt Zouma and Nathan Naki. Who do you think's going to get through out of that?
Sorry, can you repeat the poll? Sorry.
So it's Alfie Molson, Harry Maguire, Kurt Zouma and Nathan Naki.
Molson's done very well over a short period of time. Aki and Maguire have had very good seasons, a pair of them. I don't know, and Kurt Zouma's obviously had his injury, but he was positive. I don't think Kurt Zouma will win. I think any of the other three could, personally. I don't know. I think sorry, that's a really bad answer, but I think any of the three, any of the others apart from Kurt Zouma for me.
I think if it's based on this season that Molson would win,
yeah.
I think if it's based upon who has potentially the highest ceiling of the players. You know, if you're going for potential FIFA manager ratings and such, then Zouma's the winner. I think Zouma's the best of the four, but his injuries will go against him.
All right, so this is polls getting put up at lunchtime on Thursday the 2nd, so if you listen to it after that, after the poll's already been up, it's open till Monday. So, it should be exciting. Then we'll move on to the midfield next week, which should be a fun discussion. So, do you want to do the wingers first, or do you want to do centre midfield first?
I don't know. I guess I don't have a plan, to be honest. I'll have a look at the best midfield and see what takes my fancy.
So, let's do centre mid. Are we going to try and go for defensive and then a more attacking one, or just throw them all in one and see who they pick?
A DM, a CM, an AM.
No.
But there's so many strikers. This is where it gets difficult because there's a lot of players. I'm going to have to sit and work out who, you know, I'll make a long list and I'll try and work out the best way to include everyone. We might see a return of Eric Dyer to a piece shape.
Until somebody sticks him in the team.
Yeah, we'll put him at left wing or something if he doesn't make it a centre mid.
We're going to be a Darth Crooks.
I need something. We need to have a look through the team and, yeah, we'll make decisions.
Right, is there anything else you want to discuss?
Nick wasn't very happy on the 72 show this week as Brighton lost to Newcastle in the big game at the top.
Yeah.
With the funniest goal I've ever seen.
I didn't laugh at him, but
I've not seen this goal yet. I need to see it.
It was like pinball, there was also the... what the crew boss came out with as well made me laugh. He was saying that the players can't get relegated from League Two into the National League now. He was saying all they'll have to find jobs as milkmen or something to give themselves a living, which made me laugh. So
check out our website, vtofootball.com, where you can find our other shows. As Anthony's just mentioned, the S72 show, Ash and Al had Ian Marshall on this week, but we'll see if that happens.
Hang on, Are these guests as in their usual style of guests? Or?
No, they're actual guests. They're not.
Because they've had some really big names on in the past, haven't they? Like Jurgen Klopp and stuff.
Yeah, they have. Jurgen Klinsmann comes on a lot. Michael Flatley comes on a lot. Anyone with an Irish or German accent, they tend to come on. So.
we've got an episode of Hipster's Guide to Europe coming soon as well.
Cool. Any more details on it? Are you focusing on a league, or are you going to do like a general chat?
Top secret.
It's the Albanian under-17 league this time.
I think you do need a bit. You need to be a bit more hipstery. I think hipster.
Need to put some. We'll do our best, but the European show will be next week, hopefully. Next episode of that, which I'm looking forward to.
All right, so we also had a guest writer on the site this week, George Didcot. You can follow him at GeorgeDidcot19. He wrote a piece about who he thinks is going to get promoted from the Championship this year. You can also check out his blog, it's gdonsports@wordpress.com. Follow us on Twitter, it's @V2Football, and like us on Facebook. Good night.
Good night.
Night.